Hello and welcome to another episode of the Successful Home Ownership Show with your host Richard McKenzie out of the greater Cincinnati area. And thank you for listening, of course. Today's episode is going to be all about investment properties that have been flipped. And these can come in many shapes and sizes. You can have a single family dwelling, you can have a duplex, you can have a triplex, you can have a four family, and even more than that. But we're going to stay in the category of somewhere between a single family and a four family. And again, the key feature here is that the property has been flipped. So what are some of the things that you need to look for and watch out for and be aware of? And I also want to throw in some stuff about how we inspectors think and how we judge things and how we, and I don't mean necessarily the grade of something or the condition, but how we view from the get-go, knowing a property has been flipped, whether we are biased towards it being a high-quality renovation or a crappy one. And there's everything in between. Okay. And some of the other things, too, that I want to address with an investment property. And by the way, the example we're going to be talking about today is a duplex. And in this case, it was a upstairs-downstairs scenario. And we're going to go into that. But some of the things that we get asked during inspections that are not in our lane. I get kind of tired of stay in your lane. But in reality, it's quite fitting for this particular case. There is the role of the appraiser and there's the role of the inspector. And we are not the appraisal. We do not think about the value of the property, nor do we think about, is this a good deal? Do you think I'm getting a good deal on this? Do you think this is worth $180,000? We get asked this quite a bit. And while it's flattering to be asked such questions, because the only reason somebody's asking you something of paramount importance is that they really think that you have an opinion on that and you're very knowledgeable. So there's no need for we inspectors to be offended by such questions, but they really are outside of the lane that we are in, which is the inspection, which is the property condition that we see it at the time of the inspection. And remember that an inspection is not a prediction of the future, but it is an assessment of the observed conditions at the time of the inspection without being destructive, without being invasive, of the readily accessible areas, which means we can't see into the side of the wall. We cannot pull up the floorboards nor the carpet. We can sometimes remove a heating and cooling register cover, and you can see where the carpet's been pulled out or cut out, and you can see pretty easily if you have hardwood floors there or if it's OSB or plywood and you don't have hardwood floors. That's a real sneaky and good way to determine if you have hardwood floors underneath some carpet. So anyway, I digress. So we get asked these questions. And for this particular duplex, as I mentioned, it was being purchased by somebody who knows that the property's been renovated or flipped. He or she wants to live in one of the units. In this case, it would be the downstairs unit because the upstairs unit, actually both were vacant. Yes, I remember correctly now. Both were vacant, but sometimes we get one where somebody says, I'm going to live in the downstairs unit. The upstairs is occupied. Okay, that makes sense. For this one, both of them were vacant, so we had a clear view of pretty much everything. And I want to go through this 143-year-old property. So that's a decently historic aged property. And in in observing all of the conditions that we saw at the time of the inspection, we do want to go over what we observed, and there's outside stuff and inside stuff. Now, some flippers do totally ignore the outside, sans maybe the roof, meaning in all things except the roof, because they sometimes will ignore vegetation. They sometimes will just totally ignore trash. I've gone to houses where I had to tell one client recently, do you see that there's 5 tires in the backyard that are just left there? No, I didn't see that. Well, that's why you hire us. Tires, abandoned tires, sitting out in the weeds in the backyard can collect water inside that tire, and they end up being mosquito havens and for, you know, malaria and whatever other noxious diseases that they could be spreading if they bite you. So that's important to note, those things. Abandoned cars. People, surprisingly, some people don't notice abandoned cars sitting in yards. It's just amazing, or in a driveway. Yeah, I think the investor totally forgot about the car and just left it there, and that's just a present for you, much like a flaming bag of dog stuff on a front porch, and you go to stomp on it. So you get the picture. Abandoned stuff can be hazardous. Poles sticking out of yards that nobody notices. Those things are all hazardous. So let's talk about our observation. When we go up to a property and we're walking around, you know, we're of course observing the roof. All right, so the roof on this house, we pegged that being about 3 years or younger. I don't know how long it took the investor to renovate the house, but obviously they started with the roof first, which is good because that way you don't have any leaks on the work you're doing inside the house. So that's all well and good. Really didn't have any issues with the roof. Sometimes investors, and this is something you want to look for as well, they will hold back on the roof and they'll save it for last. They hope that the inspector doesn't call it out as needing replaced. If that's the case, then somewhere between $10,000 and $20,000 doesn't have to get spent on a new roof, and thus the profit margin on that property goes higher. So something to think about there. Keep an eye on your roof. This house had some good drainage things. It had new 6-inch gutters. It had some new sidewalk area up against the house. So that was good stuff to note. They had a large city drain, which was several feet from the house, and the grading, remember, it's 143 years old for this house, so the foundation being cut stone is definitely going to weep. What does that mean? That means it lets water in during soaking rains. It doesn't pour in, hopefully, but it is going to seep in. And you just want to make sure that you get the gutters extended, taking water away from the house, and you have good grading so that water does flow away from the house. So the outside really wasn't too bad. So then we noticed that the air conditioners were decently young too. They were 3 years or less. And the furnaces were not, however. I'll go ahead and point that out. Sometimes they spend on the air conditioners and not the furnaces. Sometimes you spend on the furnaces and not the air conditioners. So these are things you really want to keep an eye on. Remember, I've said this in other episodes, that the four big items that can put you in the poorhouse real fast, that you want to grade your level of success with your investment, are your roof. All right, we knocked that out already, 3 years or less. The air conditioners, all right, we knocked that out. The furnaces, we'll cover that in a minute. These were older furnaces. They were 27 years old each, and one of them was rusted all to heck, and the other was just wasn't all rusted. And this was very strange. I'll digress on this one. You would expect a furnace that was in the basement to probably deteriorate faster than one that was in a nice dry second floor closet. Well, that wasn't the case. The one in the second floor closet was all rusted all to heck. And in both chambers, after removing both covers, And then the one in the basement was pretty pristine. And it was a stone foundation, which allows water to weep. And there was a partial crawl space in the basement. You really expected the one in the basement to be the worst condition one, but that wasn't the case. So things don't always work the way that you logically think. And let's see, the fourth item of the big four, if you're taking notes, would be the foundation. Let me just say about this house. All right, I'm going to cover some sloppy renovation work inside. But this house was built like a battleship or tank. It was just a 68 Impala, Chevy Impala. You can't stop it. It's just a Ford Galaxy, you know, 1960-some. This house just had this cut stone foundation, 18 inches wide, maybe even 2 feet in some places. Hasn't moved one inch in 148 years. And if it had moved, I didn't see it. There were really no cracks on the foundation. We'll cover some basement observations in a little bit, but foundationally, great. So you had three out of those four items of those big four that were already passed. You've already cleared those hurdles. Of course, we didn't find out about the furnaces until we inspected one of them on the second floor and then one of them in the basement, and we did the basement last. So we'll cover all that. But when we got inside, what are the things that we notice that gives us a gut feel or biases us towards this renovator or against? It's trim. It's the way the doors are installed. It's you go in and there's half of the deadbolt missing. You go in the front door and you look in the door jamb and, you know, the strike plates for the deadbolt and for the doorknob, that the latches that they're supposed to grab into when they're just wood and they're not the brass metal plates that are supposed to be there for that. Why don't you put those on? Why do you leave the door with just a deadbolt that goes into straight a wood hole in the door frame without the strike plate? Where does the strike plate go? How do you lose these things during your renovation? They come with the door, for goodness sakes, the hardware for the door. How do you only put two hinges on a door and not the third one? Why? So these are things, and we keep telling the buyer, yep, we're putting it in the report. Yep, it's fixable. Everything during our observations were fixable. By the way, the windows were installed well. There were no thermal seal failures. I will say there were two bathrooms on each floor. So there were two-bedroom units for this duplex. So four bathrooms. One of the sets had both bathrooms, tubs. Water really just didn't come out of the tub spigot. So the source for that water, for the plumbing for it, needs a repair. Trying to think what else for the bathrooms that were just troublesome. Nothing really other than just the plumbing wasn't really done right. And we had some supply issues and a couple of slow drains. Now, after you've done a renovation, to have a slow drain, can you picture doing drywall work, rinsing off the sponge that you're smoothing things with and the sanding, maybe a sanding block, and you're smoothing things out before you make the walls paintable, and you're rinsing all that in the sink, and then all that dust dries in the P-trap and clogs it up. I can see something like that. That just needs to be snaked out by a plumber. And we highly, highly, highly recommend when you have large trees in the yard and when you have a house that's older than 50, 60, 70 years old, in this case, 143, should you get a sewer scope for your investment property? Yes, 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 and yes. Did I say yes? Yes, I said yes. Indeed. So $350, boy, that's a lot more money added to the price of the inspection. Yeah, and we don't do those sewer scopes. Why don't we do the sewer scopes here in Cincinnati? Well, because it's a kind of a stay in your lane kind of thing. You can find somebody who is super young, has watched a couple of YouTube videos and plunked down a whole bunch of money for a sewer scope, But they're not going to write you a report. They're going to give you a video, and you'll have to kind of interpret it yourself. Maybe they'll notice a few things. Maybe they'll misdiagnose a few things. But nothing beats experience with being a sewer scope technician. They aren't necessarily all licensed plumbers, but they definitely know how to interpret what they're seeing. A crack versus roots versus a separation, versus obstructions, figuring out what the obstructions are, and so forth and so on. So I would pay a little bit more for quality for that sewer scope. You want somebody who's actually going to give you a PDF document report of what they've interpreted. And because sometimes replacing a sewer line can be $5,000 to $10,000 if they got to dig up the yard and do a whole lot of replacement. That is not cheap. And there's city permits that go along with that, etc. All right. One of the other things that we noted on both of these upstairs and downstairs units, you have brand new dishwashers. Okay. The valves appeared to be turned on. Not that that's something that we're supposed to turn on. We're not. We're not supposed to turn water valves on. That's not the same thing as turning a faucet on. And both dishwashers, we couldn't really get to work. They were installed. They were attached to the countertop. Okay. One of them also had some warped tongue and groove hardwood floors in front of it, which I believe was probably from the previous dishwasher that was there, not this one. And so my estimation on the buyer asked, can these be sanded? I said, yeah, because I know they're really thick. You can take off an eighth of an inch off of some high spots of a hardwood floor and still get it to look good. I mean, you could be pretty rough with the sander, and it, I mean, that's why these are 2 1/4 inch, half inch thick, tongue and groove, red oak wood. And it's really hard to damage that wood. All right. Some other things, installing cabinetry in the kitchens was just somewhat haphazard. Just sloppy work. It's just irritating sloppy work. And the bottom drawer, for example, in the cabinet wasn't able to close. Why? Because they ran the dishwasher hose through it and didn't cut a notch to allow the hose to be flush with the inside of the track. And so the drawer gets pushed into the hose. Does anybody want to go back and fix that? Apparently not, because it was there for the inspector to find. Closet doors not being installed right. Front door. Even like this metal insulated door, not only did it miss some of the, was missing some of the hardware to close the door, but it also had the door metal casing was like bent, like somebody maybe tried to break in and they just left it there. There were a couple of interior doors that were delaminating. That's just somewhat irritating to find. So the attic had a few inches of insulation, and we did find a couple of insulated ductwork runs for a couple of the bedrooms that were just bent extremely and really would not allow good airflow. So we pointed those things out to fix as well. Then we saved the basement for last. There were a couple of arches in the basement, which are really strong. Arches always give me confidence as an inspector, because arches are just that kind. They're just really strong, and anything that's built above them is just going to be there for ad infinitum. I mean, just till the end of time, practically. Going down in this basement was very entertaining, actually. It didn't stink. There weren't flooding areas. There were two sump pumps. I don't know why they were side by side. I guess one's a backup, one's a primary. One of them was caked in mud, and so the pump definitely needed to be replaced, and it needed to be dug back out. But there were no signs of heavy flooding along the walls and so forth. So I think that one, over a long period of time, deteriorated and needed to be replaced. There were some, with houses that are like 143 years old, like this one, you run into scenarios where you have this primary basement, and then you have kind of on the outside wall of maybe one side of the house, you have this crawl space. So the wall goes up and over and into a crawl space. So sometimes we can't get in these things, but we take a lot of pictures and close-ups, and we're looking for termite damage. We're looking for how they renovated the house, and did they put some support posts in under some parts of the floor? Yes. Did they attach these short members correctly? No. Were all of them secured to a good foundation? Not properly. Some improvement can be made. Were they pressure-treated lumber? Yes, that's good. So just not being secured correctly, but looking like, and when we walked upstairs throughout the house, there weren't any unlevel areas of the floor. So they actually did a good job of figuring out the height of these members, but in three separate places, they were not really attached to the beam correctly, nor attached to the base correctly. So that needed to be repaired. Also, there was this random concrete block. It looked like it was installed with the holes. There's two holes in these concrete blocks because they are hollow, up and down instead of side by side. That's the proper way. The holes should be vertical, and that's the strongest part of that block. Was it anchored somewhere in the floor? No. Was it concreted in the floor? No. Could we really get to it? No, unfortunately. But we got some good pictures of it, and it should be evaluated by a qualified basement contractor with the repairs of the other wooden members that were not secured correctly. In looking for termites and carpenter ants for this inspection, fortunately, we did not see any, and we really did look thoroughly. Why weren't there any? Because there wasn't a lot of vegetation up against the house. Because it was graded pretty well with some big drain, that big drain I talked about near the house, so water ran away. Because you had sump pumps, so you just didn't allow at this property a whole lot of wet conditions, which wet conditions plus cellulose material usually yields or tempts wood-destroying insects. So, that being said, that was a good finding or lack of finding. No termites, no carpenter ants. And another great thing that we found was that the 4-inch sewer line, at least the under the house part, had all been replaced. That's several thousand dollars worth of work. The water main was not lead, so that's been replaced with copper. That's also $3,000 to $4,000 right there. So that was all well and good to find. So we did have some pleasant surprises, but some of the lack of craftsmanship, a couple of plumbing items, one of the bathroom hot sink handles did not yield any water, yet the valve was on. So something's going on in the basement with the distribution line that needs to be repaired. And also, not as expensive as furnaces or air conditioners, but there's two water heaters. One of them was 3 years, the other one was 16, and it had rust at the bottom and it was leaking at the bottom, so definitely needs to be replaced. So that was noted as well. the electrical panels, fortunately, were newer. And I really didn't have a problem with the electric in this house, especially since all of the knob and tube wiring seemed to be replaced. So, overall with this property, so I hope you learned a lot on this one and know what to watch out for, especially the difference between a good flipper and a bad flipper as far as craftsmanship goes, period. And, well, as always, of course, we really thank you for listening, and our next episode will probably be another investment property. These are very popular at this time, and until the next episode, this has been the Successful Home Ownership Show with your host, Richard McKenzie, out of the greater Cincinnati area, First Inspection Services, and thank you for listening.